Raed and Fatim herself.
And her work as a photojournalist. Talk about that in this last 30 seconds.
Yes. There are many exhibitions around the world, hopefully soon in the US. There was a book published in France called Les Yeux de Gaza, Eyes of Gaza. I'm trying to get it out in the US as well. Many books, many exhibitions. She's going to get an honorary PhD from the Canary University, Las Palmas. Many things are done to her. A man just took her photo to Vatican because he wrote to me, I'm going there, I'm going to take her photo with me. People are walking for Fatah.
Sepi Defarsi, award-winning Iranian filmmaker, director of the new documentary, Put Your Soul on Your Hand and Walk. It's going to be premiering here in New York at Doc NYC at Village East Thursday at 12:45. But it's also in theaters around the country. Right now, also at IFC. Democracy Now!, the film about it, Steal the Story, Please, will be shown at two theaters here in New York, at the SVA Theater and at IFC Thursday and Friday. On Saturday, I'll be speaking twice in Amsterdam, in the Netherlands, at the Royal Theater Carré. The film will show there at 5:15 and 8:30 on Saturday night. Hope to see people in Amsterdam. That does it for our show. I'm Amy Goodman. This is Democracy Now! Check our website at democracynow.org for details about the film's showing.
You are listening to KBOO Portland.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available at our website at kboo.fm. The Executive Committee meets on the second Thursday of the month at 6 p.m. This month's meeting will be held at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland and online through our public video conference. A public link and phone number to attend the meeting virtually can be found on our website at kboo.fm. Please visit our website to verify if a meeting is being held.
You're listening to KBOO Portland 90.7 FM. The time is right at 1 a.m. Next up is SD Talk.
Purpose in the current circus, if you're seeking respect and attention, if you're in need of a gig that'll help you feel big, come with me and put some folks in detention. Just last week was kind of rough, I put a kid in cuffs, I zip-tied a woman to a van. We can sneak around town hunting working folks down, I hear they got a great benefit plan. Join ICE, boy ain't it nice, join ICE, take my advice. If you're lacking control and authority, come with me and hunt down minorities. Join ICE. See, I failed the academy, the cops weren't having me, the army didn't sound that fun. So I found me a paramilitary operation that was keen to hand me a gun. I got picked on at school, I never felt that cool. There's a hole in my soul that just erased. Well, if you're looking for purpose in the current circus, if you're seeking respect and attention, if you're in need of a gig that'll help you feel big, come with me and put some folks in detention. Just last week was kind of rough, I put a kid in cuffs, I zip-tied a woman to a van. We can sneak around town hunting working folks down, I hear they got a great benefit plan. Join ICE, boy ain't it nice, join ICE, take my advice. If you're lacking control and authority, come with me and hunt down minorities. Join ICE. See, I failed the academy. The cops weren't having me. The army didn't sound that fun. So I found me a paramilitary operation that was keen to hand me a gun. I got picked on at school. I never felt that cool. There's a hole in my soul that just erased. Well, if you're looking for purpose in the current circus, if you're seeking respect and attention, if you're in need of a gig that'll help you feel big, come with me and put some folks in detention. Just last week was kind of rough. I put a kid in cuffs. I zip-tied a woman to a van. We can sneak around town hunting working folks down. I hear they got a great benefit plan. Join ICE, boy, ain't it nice. Join ICE, take my advice. If you're lacking control and authority, come with me and hunt down minorities. Join ICE. See, I failed the academy. The cops weren't having me. The army didn't...
Good morning. This is Jacqueline Keeler, and I am calling into the studio, so excuse me if it sounds different. And this is Wednesday Talk Radio, and I'm your host, Jacqueline Keeler. And today we are going to be discussing the recent caving of the Dems that we just saw. And I think I would love to hear from callers about how this could impact them as far as the increase in health care subsidies that has occurred, that is going on right now. People are receiving their notices. So I would just be curious what you feel about that, and how do you feel about, I think they're being called the Hateful Eight, the eight Dems in the Senate who, they're not all Dems, seven Dems and one independent who all caucus with the Democratic Party and that collaborated with Republicans in crafting a compromise to end the longest government shutdown in U.S. history. I think it was 40 days. And so, they did so without winning any health care concessions, or they got some kind of promise for a vote, just a promise in December. We'll see if that even happens. And then, and of course, it doesn't even mean that, even if they were against all odds to actually win a vote in December regarding healthcare, they would, helping to pay healthcare subsidies, which about 20 million Americans depend on, and their folks will be seeing increases for as many as 2-4 times, even if it's 20% or so, that's still quite a bit of a budget, monthly budget. But, even if they get that vote in December and they actually win it, it still has to go to the House. And I don't know that the House, will even vote on it, right? And if they do vote on it and say they do pass it, which is pie in the sky at that point, it still has to go to Trump, to the president to sign it. And so it seems like they caved for really nothing, and what is your opinion on this? I'd love to hear what you have to say. Just let me know. Call in to the studio, and let us know what you think. Let me see if I can. The studio number is 503-231-8187, Let me know what you think of the Sunday vote and how that will affect your premiums, if it affects you through the Affordable Care Act or, as it is known, the Obamacare program. It helps millions of Americans get health care. I know that I'd heard, that 51,000 Americans will most likely die every year. That was the congressional sort of number that was found that I heard Bernie Sanders quoting, Senator Sanders, and every year if these subsidies for the premiums are not reinstated or continued at least. So so have the Democrats, I think, as I had heard someone referred to, particularly Schumer, Senator Schumer, Leader Schumer, Minority Leader Schumer of the Senate, has he, is it due to his poor leadership? I mean, it was his own whip, who actually voted with the eight. And so, yeah, let me know what you think. You can call in here. The number is 503-231-8187. And what do you think of what the Democrats did? These seven Democrats and one independent did in breaking voting with the Republicans to stop the shutdown. I guess the shutdown is still ongoing, but they did allegedly get promises that people would be who were furloughed would be rehired, or if they've been fired by Trump during the shutdown, would be rehired, and they would also get their back pay. But you know, I don't know if you guys watched the Daily Show, but Stewart did a really great analysis of the fact that, you know, they were concerned about people losing their health care and possibly dying, are those people no longer a concern for these eight people? Is that what has happened? And of course, the Republicans are trying to blame the Dems, not only for the shutdown, but claiming that the, I think, the subsidies to the insurance companies, which I think we all are not happy with the final health care bill that the Obama administration was able to get through, passed. It wasn't the one that was initially desired, but of course, through a lot of tinkering by the Republicans and other and Dems, that were beholden to the insurance industry, they did get a lot of handouts to the insurance industry. And of course, the goal, the final goal, is guaranteed health care for everyone. And this is a measure, but it is a measure that, for some reason, the Republicans are determined to get rid of. And it's become so. How do you feel? Do you feel that? Do you feel? Oh, actually, we have a caller, Santiago.
Oh, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Yeah, the Democrats did exactly what they're supposed to do. One of the biggest reasons I think that they caved is because, like, the potential of losing the filibuster. The filibuster isn't a law. It's more of like a nicety or like a tradition. But that filibuster, you know, because there's like a rotating set of villains within the Democratic Party that always seem to crop up whenever the people desire something. And so the filibuster is kind of their way of wiggling out of doing anything. So if the Republicans were to kill the filibuster, then the Democrats would have no way to kind of haggle the difference between what the corporate overlords that they subscribe to pay them. They'd have a lot less wiggle room to capitulate towards them while pretending that they're standing up for the people. And I just think it's really, I don't know, I find that to be one, because I mean, at the end of the day, it's theater. I mean, you know, the healthcare industry puts money into both parties. They both have a stake to gain in making sure that people don't have affordable healthcare. So, I mean, at this point, I mean, anybody who's still thinking that the Dems serve them, that the Democrats serve them, need to wake up. You know, we need a workers' party. We need a workers' party that stands up for the people, regardless of what it costs. You know, I mean, it's just that this, I mean, you know, with the, especially since it wasn't even really caving. Because, like, they just, I mean, the last Tuesday, in less than a week since last Tuesday, you know, one of the biggest Democratic sweeps that they've seen in years, they didn't cave. It's like they went into a cave that was sturdy and just blew it up for the sake of getting paid. I mean, and really saying that they caved is just like, because they didn't cave, they just blew it up. I mean, it's, I don't know. I just... Yeah, I mean, it's not surprising. It's disappointing, but it's not surprising.
Yeah, exactly. I think that we know, once again, they reveal who they are. Are they really the opposition party, or what are they exactly? Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, yeah, no, they are definitely not the opposition party. I mean, they're controlled opposition, but they're not real opposition.
Yeah. And
So, I mean, just point is that, you know, after this, people should really, you know, need to start talking. We need to start talking about dual power. We need to start talking about, you know, revolutionary workers' parties, labor parties, stuff that allows us to, because when it comes to
hello? Okay, I think you're cutting out. Oh, Santiago just cut out there. So, yeah, I think I'd like to hear from other folks what they think about this. Do you think that we should be looking at organizing labor parties? Or should we try to take back the Democratic Party? Maybe this is our Tea Party moment, if you want to phrase it that way. And can we actually primary these seven Dems and one independent, Angus King of Maine? And Senator King of Maine actually was on, I think he was on CNN, he was saying that it failed because, you know, they couldn't convince Trump and it wasn't going to win anyway. And this is despite the fact that the Dems had a really amazing, really positive result with the elections this month and had gained seats and were obviously starting to regain some sort of stature with voters. And I think they went up like something like 30 points or something as far as the opinion polls went. And so despite all that, they managed to basically claw, from the jaws of victory, you know, claw failure. And do you feel that Senator, Schumer or Leader Schumer, that did he coordinate this? There's some talk about him of having actually coordinated these eight, particularly because the Democratic senators who voted for this, some of them are retiring, others aren't going to be standing for election until like 2028 or something. So he chose them, those that were sort of safe from sort of, backlash or being voted out, and to do this. And how do you feel about that? Of course, John Fetterman of Pennsylvania, so he's been obviously sort of the voting with Republicans for a while now. And ironically, we have a Republican Senator Rand Paul of Kentucky, who was the sole member of his party to vote against the bill. But of course, Dick Durbin, he is the whip of the Democratic senators there. And he is supposed to be, with the Lazzi whip, he is supposed to be enforcing party unity, right? And yet he did not. Hi, there's another caller. Ed? Hi, Ed.
Yes. Hey,
yes.
I heard Santiago say that the Democrats didn't want to get rid of the filibuster, but if anybody remembers, it was only a number of months ago that the Democrats were actually vehemently opposed to the filibuster and trying to get rid of it, and it was Republicans that were grasping onto it.
Whoever's in the... Yeah. Wow.
That was while the Democrats had possession of the House just before the Republicans took it. Now, the Republicans don't want to get rid of it because, you know, it's their only way of offsetting the balance, so to speak, or the imbalance. And
yeah, totally.
Fetterman was supposed to be a progressive who turned out to be a right-wing henchman, and I regret sitting in any assistance in this reality because he was trying to be the opposition of even the Democrats' rightist leftism when he followed to the right. And I keep hearing people call Democrats liberals, and they are anything but. They are the old Republicans, and the new Republicans are the Nazi Party of America. So, but yes.
Yeah.
It's appalling that they gave in because they felt that they needed to pander support with their electorate and in the shut, or well, the reason I believe they did it was to get people SNAP benefits faster, because as soon as, you know, they come out of the thing, they will reissue the SNAP benefits, which was counter to any bit of ability to negotiate. And the good part, I guess, is that it goes back in January and they shut down again in January if they don't get a consensus somehow somewhere in the middle. Maybe that's why they did.
Yeah.
Because in January we had to do this again, but then that just prolongs the inevitable.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it doesn't, well, I mean, I think John Stewart and was saying that finally that people were starting to understand that Trump was responsible for these things, and he wasn't able to sort of do what he always done, which is to sort of redirect attention to one of his manufactured dramas. I think right now he's suing the BBC for $1 billion, even as, you know, emails were, I guess, leaked today that where Epstein is saying that he, that Trump knew about what he was up to, with his trafficking of girls and young women. And so it felt like this was a moment where they were actually breaking through to the American public. The question is, you know, if people are going to be facing paying these huge premiums, will more people finally come around to the fact that Trump is so, you know, he's never lived a normal life. He's never had to pay bills the way normal people do. He has no idea of what people are going through.
The delusional people that voted for him aren't going to come around to anything until they're so far in the depths of everything that they're still going to be blaming the Democrats because they're still delusional.
It seems like it's very hard, like 38% who support him no matter what. And I was just, this one lady, she was Latina, but she, her father got deported to Africa. And to a country is being held, I think they were Cuban American, and he, even in this African prison, he still believes Trump is going to make it all right.
Yeah, yeah. It's delusion.
Yeah. Oh my God. Well, thank you for calling in, Ed.
Thank you.
Yeah. Once again, the number here is 503-231-8187. And you can call in here to KBOO, and we're discussing, you know, the Dems caving, and not even after 40 days of a shutdown, not even getting an agreement to actually to fund healthcare in this country, health premiums through the Obamacare premiums. And how do you feel about this? How does it affect you? How do you feel about these seven Democrats and one independent? I'll name them off here. Senators Gene Sheehan and Maggie Hassan of New Hampshire, Tim Kaine of Virginia. Didn't he run as the vice president for Senator Clinton, Hillary Clinton, or Secretary of State? Clinton, Dick Durbin of Illinois, who runs for the presidency, should say. And Dick Durbin, as I mentioned, is the whip, and he is supposed to be enforcing party unity as following the leadership of the leader of the Democratic Party. So, yeah, it's pretty crazy that he voted against this, and this is why people are asking if Schumer had actually sort of kind of constructed this, made this happen, and yet still is loudly saying he's against it. But is this all, as Santiago said earlier, is this all just performance? You know, is this what our lives, our democracy, I mean, what they are fighting for is democracy itself. This isn't, this is what I found it so disturbing about what some of these senators were saying. I think Senator Kaine was saying that basically he felt better. He finally had a good night's sleep after his vote to open to reopen Congress, but reopen the Senate, and he to stop the shutdown. He basically said now he could go into the Capitol building and look at the Capitol police in the eye because they weren't getting their paychecks, and now they're going to get their paychecks. And yet, you know, the stakes are much higher. The stakes are the actual existence of democracy. Oh, hi, we have two more callers. Sorry about that. Yes, Arthur, you're on Wednesday Talk Radio.
Good morning.
Good morning.
You're discussing whether or not there are many differences between Democrats and Republicans. So I want to just throw something out locally for you. I believe the state of Oregon has two senators, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, one is Jeff Merkley and one is Ron Wyden. And as far as I know, they're both Democrats. But Ron Wyden voted, I think Ron Wyden voted to give the latest $25 billion in weapons to Israel to murder children in Gaza. And Jeff Merkley did not vote in that direction. So there are differences in Democrats. And I'll take my comments off the air. Thank you so much for your time.
Yes, you are correct. Our two senators split on the weapon sales issue to Israel, and this happened in August, even as the Gaza death toll passed 60,000 people. And so, yeah, there are differences, and certainly those are things that, as voters, we should be holding them accountable for. And certainly, I hope that all of you have been calling your representative and also calling the congressional line as well, the number, and letting them know what you feel. And certainly they do look at that, and hopefully we can get some changes in the way these folks are voting. And but I think that Rod Wyden is he's not going to run again, so he can't be primary, but there'll be someone else running. And that person, we should definitely make sure where they stand on these issues, particularly with weapon sales. And thank you, Arthur. Jessica, are you still on the line?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
Oh, hi. Yes, hi. Welcome to Wednesday Talk Radio.
Well, the last caller kind of hinted to what I wanted to ask about, because I know that I believe Merkley voted no. And I'm kind of curious, like, what do people think is the future for those Democrats that are voting no, and like, what are people's thoughts about? How do we stand with people who are taking a stand to ensure that more people can take a stand? And I'll take my comments off the line as well. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Okay, so yeah, Senator Merkley, who he's also a senior member of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, has co-sponsored six bills in September 2024 with Senator Bernie Sanders. To hold a $20 billion arms sale to Israel. He's been very active in trying to stop these arms sales. He also voted to in favor of two Sanders bills to halt a $675 million bomb sale to Israel and shipments of $20,000 assault rifles. I think contacting Merkley's office and letting them know you support what he does is a good thing. And that way he knows, I mean, obviously he has a lot of support here from his constituency, but I think it is very helpful for them to hear that they are supported as well. And also to draw attention to any other issues that you think that they should be aware of. Obviously, he probably won't read everything that's sent to him, but his staff does, and his backers, some of them will undoubtedly take interest in certain topics. So definitely communication is really important, being active. And I think the primaries coming up next year, we should be very active in those and trying to take back the party and also changing leadership in the party. We need new leaders certainly AOC should be up for more leadership. So that would be really excellent. And there have been calls now to for Schumer to step down. That would be, very outspoken is California Senator Ro Khanna, who is saying that Schumer is no longer effective and should be replaced. Michigan Congresswoman Rashida Tlaib said that the minority leader has failed to meet this moment and is out of touch with the American people. And so she says the Democratic Party needs leaders who fight and deliver for working people. Schumer should step down. And so, like I mentioned before, there is a question, like, did he give the okay on this? I mean, how could his whip, Senator Durbin, do this act? I mean, how good of a leader is he if he can't even get his right-hand person to keep party discipline? And that's what a whip is supposed to do, make sure they vote together. Obviously, he either directed this Kaden, or he is not a good leader because his own whip defied him, right? And so the question is, we need younger leadership. We need leadership that is more in touch with what's going on and is willing to have the stomach to fight, really fight, and stop acting like this is business as usual. Like this is normal. We are no longer in a normal time. We are fighting for democracy itself, and we are facing, King Trump and this real attempt to basically put all power with him. It'll be very interesting when he finally goes away for whatever reason. And I don't think that his vice president has the same level of charisma or support. Trump is basically able to direct the Republican Party because his followers are so so cultish, right? And so he's able to really, command the Republican Party, which is itself not that popular. When this coming down to Peter Thiel's political creature, J.D. Vance, Vice President Vance, who knows what's going to happen next? I think that they're going to. So this is why they're trying to institute changes in our electoral system, or to hold that power, put it in a structural way, so they no longer have to just rely on Trumpism. So, hi, we have another caller, Doug. You are on Wednesday Talk Radio.
Yeah, what I want to say on is, it's time right now. The only thing we can really do is, if you've got any chance of not paying your federal taxes, this is the time. So if we as a group could stop paying federal taxes for a while, I think we would have a chance to break through this.
That's an interesting idea. I think I think, the way taxes are done in this country, where the very wealthy are able to manipulate the system to tax loopholes to basically pay nothing, right? And certainly Trump has discussed doing this himself, and he's very proud of it, and he's telling his audience, that his followers, that that this makes him smart. He's just using the rules, he's using the laws, he's just doing the smart thing, right? And they adore him for that. But if any of us, particularly salary people, were to stop paying taxes, they can really, they can begin garnishing your wages. There's so much control they have over most people, the non-1%ers. But if you're getting your money through other means, or, being able to take huge losses to write off any sorts of business income and shelter it in different ways, then you're golden, right? Golden as Trump wants the White House to be. And there has been also discussion, though, of sort of soft succession by states. I think that's been discussed mostly by California. And part of it is just acting in their own interest to counter federal policy, but also things like withholding federal tax payments or forming alliances to handle issues the federal government is not addressing, like public health issues. I know that when the new COVID booster shots the CDC is basically broken now, and they weren't really issuing any guidance or anything. States, California, Oregon, and Washington we had to work together to create some CDC, sort of what the CDC would have done in order to release booster vaccines in the fall. So there are ways in which that because Trump has already dismantled the federal system, driving out people, he's trying to force people, competent people to leave the government so then he can institute his own flunkies and continue sort of this his whole con. He can just begin to treat our federal government and our federal treasury as his own personal wealth, his own personal power, and utilize the name of the United States to sort of try to get foreign governments even to bend the knee to him, right, for his ego. This is where we are. This 38% of Americans who are primarily white Americans, as we know, just really are very attracted to this. And it's sad. I mean, it's just, and here we are. I think that part of the concept of American sort of exceptionalism is that the way the United States has been run by those in power and the idea of progress has basically created all this wealth. Well, if this is a sort of more close look at how that works, with the promotion of someone like Trump into power by folks who really believe in this sort of concept of American exceptionalism, triumphalism, the taking of land from Native people. My own ancestors were held in concentration camps and certainly died at the hands of U.S. soldiers. And of course, of African-Americans' ancestors who were enslaved and were forced to build the wealth of this country with no gain for themselves and even, just horrible conditions for generations, that this is these folks who are refusing to acknowledge that history and trying to erase it. Is this really the best that could have been done with the resources that were taken and used? Or are we just, has this all been just a long con game? I think, is Trumpism, is it revealing the truth that this is a con, right? I mean, even the creation of states, those are really artificial things, or even county lines. It's all been drawn up, since really a lot of it since the mid-1800s. A lot of the country, how much of it is even was just interested parties and self-interest, in the Gilded Age, and it's just. I think that America is revealing itself. I mean, I guess the country could be even wealthier, but with under better leadership, with people who have a better mind. I often talk about how my husband's people, the Mohawk people, they have this term called right honor, which what they expect to have leaders to have, which is a good mind, a good mind where you, and this is where you lead with, right? And they have a whole story about that and how they were able to achieve that with their leadership through a condolence ceremony, and combing out the snakes in their mind and being able to be good leaders. And I sometimes feel like I wonder how much do we have that, right? And how much of that is being thrown away right now. And that's the fight. That is the fight. We may not all be happy with, and certainly I have a lot of issues with the United States because of the history that my family and my people have had. But it could be a lot worse, sadly enough. And we're getting a glimpse of that. And we need a Democratic Party. We need to take Democratic Party to put leaders in position who recognize that and who deal with that. So sorry, let's get off I just would like for you, for you all to call in. And the number here is 503-231-8187. So looking at what the Democrats did on Sunday, basically folding and, getting no actual, getting nothing that they had asked for. Of course, some of them are now saying, Hello? Hi, Arthur, are you still there? Just go ahead.
Yeah,
I really
one more thing to say.
Yeah, go ahead.
The one more thing is right now we're caught in a real bind, and if we don't do something immediately, then we're going to continue this bind. And I think there are people that can withhold their federal tax, and if those people were to withhold their federal tax, at least they would show that there is a way. And I think we need that right now.
Yeah, what I find interesting about California doing that is that, well, you know, often there's been a lot of people talking about blue states, particularly Republicans and Fox News, as if they are terrible places, right? And yet every statistical analysis shows that, red states are much poorer, have much worse health outcomes, and are what you call, this is my term, but taker states, welfare states, states that are beneficiaries of federal monies that far exceed what they put into the federal government. And states like California, which is, I think now, is actually the fourth largest economy in the world. It is the fourth largest economy in the world. It definitely should have more of a say. We definitely need to, at some point, be able to redraw the system that we're under, because what the Republicans really lean into is the fact that all these rural states, and as I said, states are pretty artificial constructs, and, these states all have two senators, and there's just, like, Wyoming has, like, what, 500,000 people? It's a very low population state, but it becomes a center for special interests and to be able to take over. I mean, my dad's reservation is in South Dakota, and we see the former governor of South Dakota, she is now the Homeland Secretary, Noem, and just how nuts she is, and yet our tribe there in South Dakota had to endure her oversight and craziness during COVID, and she was trying to force reservations to be open so, infected people could drive through and stuff like that, and it was absolutely crazy, and this is what so many Native communities are dealing with, this kind of leadership in these rural areas. And, of course, my mother's, I'm enrolled in the Navajo Nation, and, it's the size of Ireland there in Arizona, and yet we're dealing with a very Republican leadership there. We managed to get two of the senators to be Dems, but they're just passing so much legislation that harms Native people. These states also try to suppress the vote of Native people, we've seen that in North Dakota. We've seen that in Arizona, trying to stop ballot gathering, because of course reservations don't have really great infrastructure because it's withheld, and so to this day, like 30% of Navajos on the Navajo Nation, there are about 180,000 Navajos who live on the Navajo Nation, that they don't have running water. Yeah, my mom's family only got running water in Cameron, just in Cameron, Arizona, on the Navajo Nation, in the 2010s, right? It's very recent, and they still don't have electricity. They're using solar panels or kerosene lamps and propane tanks and stuff, or just wood. And so it's, this is 100 years after so much of rural white America got electricity through the rural electricity initiative that went on during the 1930s. And so it's, we're still waiting. And so this is, I think that what a lot of Americans are realizing is the same thing that we've realized for so long, that there is such inequity in representation. When a state like California has two senators and a state like Wyoming has two senators, it gives you a sense of just the disproportionate representation that that folks in Wyoming have, and special interests in Wyoming, corporations, wealthy Republicans, the kind of power they wield versus that of people in California. And so I think that we need to... If we could get a more energized and directed Democratic Party and get them to win the House and the Senate, maybe we could start really looking at ways to change the structure that really favors these white rural communities that are basically an occupation force on Indian land, and really begin to look at equitable representation, particularly on the coasts of America. And so that's where I'm at. Once again, callers, you can call in. We are discussing the recent caving of Democratic senators on Sunday and to basically cut a deal with Republican senators and the majority and to reopen the government, to stop the shutdown, but not gain anything that they were fighting for after 40 days. They have only a promise of a vote for health care subsidies, and even that vote, even if they were to win it, which is highly unlikely, even if that vote was actually called, it is even more unlikely that it could pass the House and also pass Trump. There's this notion that the forcing the issue and putting Trump and the Republicans in such an uncomfortable situation as the shutdown was really began to possibly, then they could force Trump to okay, because Trump is basically the leader, he's the dictator of the Republican Party, and you know, forced him to finally, you know, cave on that. And I know the saying is Trump always caves, but I don't, with this issue of willing to starve people, because of course we have the money, set aside to pay SNAP benefits, but he's refusing and fighting in court to not do that. He wants the average Americans to suffer, and that is the whole point, is the suffering. So once again, the number here is 503-231-8187. And I also wanted to share a, let's see here. So as I mentioned, like Democrats, a lot of folks are talking about really getting active in the primaries to primary these senators that did not stand up for healthcare and for democracy, basically. And but there was an article that came out recently, I guess a couple days ago, in Jacobin, and it says that it has an interesting, which I haven't seen anybody reporting on, but this is something that Eric Blanc of Jacobin wrote. Democrats caved in the shutdown fight. Unions let them. So if you belong to a union, please do call and let me know how your union is standing on this and messaging to your representatives about this. And so I'm going to read a little bit from what Eric Blanc of Jacobin writes here. So he's saying, the government shutdown was a test showing where progressive forces are strong and where they're weak. The results are in after last night's Democratic capitulation to the GOP. Most top union leaders are failing to meet the moment. So, so what he writes is, in a spectacular act of cowardice and idiocy last night, seven Democratic Party senators and one independent voted to end the shutdown on Republicans' terms, squandering their moment and leverage. Bernie Sanders laid out the likely consequences of this capitulation. So this is a speech that Bernie gave Sunday before the vote. And it raises, so this is Bernie Sanders, it raises health care premiums for over 20 million Americans by doubling, in some cases tripling or quadrupling, and it paves the way for 15 million people to be thrown off of Medicaid and the Affordable Care Act. Studies show that some 50,000 Americans will die every year unnecessarily, and all that was done to give $1 trillion in tax breaks to the 1%. And so this is what the this is why they were doing the shutdown. And so so Eric continues here, and he says, countless Americans, they are rightly incensed, not only at the senators who caved, but also at Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer, who let this capitulation happen. But there's one group, one more group that deserves our anger today, top union leaders. The major domino to set off last night's capitulation was a decision by the American Federation of Government Employees, AFGE, national leadership on October 27th to call on Democrats to end the shutdown on Donald Trump's terms, without any guarantees for tens of millions of Americans' health care coverage. The main rationale provided by AFGE President Everett Tilley was that his members were suffering economically from the shutdown. There's no doubt that this hurt is very real, and I do not doubt the sincerity of Tilley's commitment to his membership. But AFGE's leadership could have decided to pressure Republicans rather than Democrats to end the shutdown. That was a, and he, this is in italics, political choice. Rank and file AFGE members this morning released an open letter calling on their national leadership to oppose the deal. As one rank and file AFGE member wrote to me last night, many of us are furious at AFGE leadership. Even if AFGE leaders thought the shutdown had become too costly, they could have put the blame squarely on the Republicans, who can reopen the government at any time by changing the Senate rules. And far from surrendering after putting up a hard fight, AFG from day one of the shutdown has refused to provide any serious red lines for the Republicans and has refused to launch any real pressure campaigns against them. AFG leaders aren't the only part of organized labor that paved the way for this debacle. Both Democratic Senators Cade in Nevada, a state where the primarily immigrant and periodically militant Culinary Union and Unite Here affiliate is the most powerful player in Democratic politics. It's hard to imagine that Nevada senators would have made such a consequential decision without the tacit or explicit green light of culinary leaders. Indeed, there's no mention of the shutdown fight in any of their union's recent press releases. The culinary leadership was likely worried that continued air traffic delays would hurt their members by dampening tourism in Vegas. But this doesn't justify refusing to put up a cross-union fight to force the Republicans to cave. Culinary workers have famously great health care. It's sad their union leaders still appear reluctant to fight for the same rights for every American. In the 2020 presidential election, culinary leaders similarly opposed Sanders and his demand for Medicaid for all. So I'd like to hear what you guys think about. What is your, if you belong to a union, what has your union said or done about this? Have they issued any statements regarding vacating on standing for ACA subsidies? And how will this, obviously unions negotiate their own health care, but surely that many would stand in solidarity with millions of Americans who don't have employer-provided health care in this country. And so once again, the number here in the studio is 503-231-8187. And this is Wednesday Talk Radio, and please do call in. How do you feel about Sunday's vote? How do you feel about the Democratic and the independent senator who voted with the Republicans to stop the shutdown without any guarantees about healthcare subsidies, and how does this impact you? I know that people are sharing on social media the increases that they are facing this next year in 2026 for their monthly healthcare bills. Some of the numbers I'm seeing are shocking. Going up from $40 to $2,000 a month, and getting less, having much higher deductibles and costs all around. And of course, as Senator Sanders noted, this will lead to people's deaths. I mean, I think the number is quoted 50,000 a year. Of course, it would mean reduced quality of life for many people, people not seeking health care, and of course, having less money to pay for other things in their lives, whether it's housing. I mean, this could, people are going to have to choose between, because some of these subsidies, monthly payments to insurances are equal to people's, or even higher than what people pay for their homes, for their rent. Do you think also there is some discussion about whether allowing Republicans to would actually galvanize more people to fight against the Republicans, giving them this quote unquote win? Would it really end up being a very toxic thing for the Republican Party with voters? Call and let me know if you think that is the case as well. The number here is 503-231-8187. So sort of shocked to to hear that, you know, that the union, I know that we, as Santiago said, that we needed to do more labor-organized parties, but it looks like some of these union leaders also need more pressure or possibly even new leadership as well. And the whole thing of focusing on pressuring Democrats instead of Trump and Republicans. I mean, this is part of what the shutdown was achieving. It was changing the focus from you know, really putting the focus on Trump's actions, his you know, his decision to starve Americans by blocking SNAP benefits, and even though he had the money. And I know that there's some sort of things going around. People are wondering, is there any money left? Like, why is he acting like this? Could he have already sort of taken the money? I mean, and certainly, you know, he's narcissistic enough to think that because he got elected into the office that suddenly this is all his. This is his money. And, of course, his destroying of the East Wing of the White House and building himself this grandiose ballroom where people can come to admire him it shows just how incredibly out of whack his ideas are about the world and his position in it. And but the way in which he's able to bend reality and get the world to bend to him for this thing, that is completely supported by his supporters, you know, that hard nut of 38% of voters and their willingness to empower him. And, of course, the willingness of the Republican Party to ride his coattails to maintain power and to put in the whole Project 2025 proposals to really remake our government, to remake our world, you know. And this is why, I mean, when people talk about what was going on with the shutdown, I sometimes think back to the pandemic, and you know, on the Navajo Nation, people really began doing more mutual aid, you know, mutual aid with each other. And I think that, you know, if we were to focus on that, on really supporting each other through these hard times, and really pushing for what we really want and need as a people, all the people who are subject to the U.S. government, who are citizens, and who aren't citizens, who are here contributing to our community in very unfair situations, that we really could change this. We don't have to cave. We don't have to do that. And we can take this back. I believe that very much. So we have a few more minutes left. If we have any callers, please do call in. This is Wednesday Talk Radio. This is your chance to speak to the issues and what you feel with other KBOO listeners. And so I really do encourage you to call in. The number here is 503-231-8187. And I'd love to hear from you all. And, I guess Arthur is on the line again. Hello, Arthur.
Hey, I'm sorry. I don't normally call twice, so good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, go ahead.
I don't like to be a time hogger. But regarding Chuck Schumer, he should just resign because he doesn't have the ability to push up his glasses. Like this, like wearing his glasses half in his nose. Like, what's wrong?
He's changed up his look. He got a new pair of glasses that are bigger.
Oh, yeah.
fashionable.
All right. Yeah. All right. I'm going to run through my, because I know we're running out of seconds, but great. Yeah. My brother, 20 years in the Air Force. My father, 4 years in the United States Army. My grandfather in the Army. And I called my brother up on Veterans Day, and I wish the United States military members would reconsider whether they should serve their country or serve Donald Trump, because there's a difference. Okay, last thing I want to say. I know you mentioned Navajo. My friend Larry Redshirt, my best friend Larry Redshirt, Navajo Nation. I think he's dead now. I'm not even sure. I would just like for you to mention his name on air, and I'll hang up. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you. Well, hello, Larry Redshirt. Well, thank you all. We're at the last moment here, and I thank you for all the callers, and I hope that we can really begin to understand, you know, what we can do in this matter. I mean, here we had this sweep with the electoral sweep just a few weeks ago, and it feels like once again the Dems are, just letting it all go and capitulating. And I think that we can actually use this moment to make change and to change the leadership in the party and to really get the energy together to really begin primarying people. And I think the issues that led to electoral sweep, which is all, you know, cost of living issues, I think those issues are not going away, certainly not with the decisions being made by the Republican Party, to make things harder for Americans, especially with medical costs. So anyway, thank you so much. This has been Jacqueline Keeler with Wednesday Talk Radio.
Benefit plan. Join us, boy, ain't it nice. Join us, take my advice. If you're lacking control and authority, come with me and hunt down minorities. Join ICE.
CFLB, this is KBOO Portland.
Welcome to Sprouts, Radio from the Grassroots, a weekly program that showcases radio production by independent community media. We bring local stories to a global audience, produced at a different location every